Howdy, partner.
Howdy, y'all.
Welcome to the Draw Pit.
Welcome.
Really a pleasure to be here tonight on NZSPN. We've got a really packed lineup for you tonight, full of reviews of the weekend's seven matches, followed by some sports news, stats, of course, the ever-popular Dick of the Week, Athlete of the Week, some nominations there, before finally signing off for another evening. Just listen to Twin Set there, Time Dilation, a very, very excellent song off the album A Summer Feeling. You can hear Twin Set Tuesdays at Cabaret, Wednesdays at the Bolton Hotel, and Fridays at Concrete. Get along. Check him out.
That's lovely. You sound like Casey Kasem or someone.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, first game, Friday night, Hurricanes versus the Reds at the stadium in Wellington. Miserable weather leading up to it. It was a cold, shitty afternoon. I thought about going, but then went, too cold.
Freezing. Horrible southerly wind.
Yeah, horrible southerly wind that just tore up everybody's skirts. The Hurricanes won the game, 26 points to 22, but I have to say, it was awful. I was bored. Not bored, I was just disappointed. It was absolutely awful rugby. Couple of tries.
Bad decision making.
No structure. You know, it wasn't that they were spilling the ball. They kind of ran and then they'd mill about over the ball and then throw it back and kick it. And
so much kicking.
Sounds like a game of rugby, but far too much kicking. It just drove everyone insane, I think.
It was a lot closer than I think anyone had predicted. Tries to the Hurricanes through Jason Eaton and Tana Umanga, and conversions to Holwell and Gopith, and three penalties to Holwell and one to Gopith. Tries to the Reds to Barnes, Croft and Rowe, two conversions to Barnes, and he got a penalty as well. That was Berrick Barnes.
Berrick Barnes, former Brisbane Bronco Berrick Barnes.
Funny. Well, he charged down a chip kick that Lome Fa'atau tried to put over him, which was just ridiculous.
Yes.
It was so stupid. Well, Mike, you were saying a grubber kick would have done just as well if he had to kick it at all.
He didn't. If he kicked it, he should have gone long, because there was no one back there, and he should have been along the ground to save, you know, sort of thing happening.
Mm.
It seems to be a disease among the Hurricanes backs, because I saw Martin Nonnie was doing it as well.
And he can't kick.
No.
At all. Right, so Hurricanes, 26-22, they didn't get the bonus point for the try.
No.
But did manage to beat it. Well, the Reds, I think, they haven't been a truly awful team. They just haven't been a team that's been able to win. I mean, they've won three games. The games that they lost, they didn't lose by a hell of a lot. So, yes, I don't think the Reds are that bad.
This competition has just been so up and down.
Yeah.
But that's good.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so the next game was in South Africa, Saturday morning, New Zealand time. Crusaders versus the Bulls. This is a Richie McCaullis for the second week in a row.
Crusaders. On the news they were saying they're not having a row, him and Robbie Deans.
No.
They're just resting him.
Totally.
Yeah, it's all.
Well, you think they are having a row?
No.
Oh.
Wouldn't be up to me to speculate.
Yes, it is. That's why.
That's my job.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure, then why not?
Yeah,
okay.
It'll get people listening.
Yeah.
Crusaders won that game 35-17.
Yes, a hammering by 18 points.
Two tries to new boy Latimer for his 20th birthday.
Bay of Plenty guy. Tanarau Latimer in the coveted Crusaders number 7 jersey.
For Richie McCaw. Leon McDonald scored as well as Aaron Major. And Dan Carter got three conversions, a penalty and a drop goal. And the Bulls got two tries to Matfield and Adams, two conversions to Stain and penalty of Stain. I got the South African name wrong last week that I was.
You've been working on it, haven't
you? I really have.
Yes, it was quite funny listening to the commentary. They said when McDonald scored, they called him a try scoring machine from fullback.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if I'd call him a try scoring machine.
No.
Well,
I guess one in three games.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a good try scoring machine. He could just be like a mediocre.
Oh, you mean but he is a machine?
Yeah, exactly.
Given all those concussions, he's more machine now than man.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yes, the Crusaders taking bonus maximum points away from the Bulls, who really didn't need that in the position they were in, especially because of other results that were going their way in the weekend. They really could have done with the win, but they didn't get it.
Crusaders now need just one point from their game next week against the Brumbies, one competition point, and they secure a home semi. However, I believe that they'll want maximum points so as to secure a home semi and home final should they get that.
Right, the next game was the Chiefs and the Waratahs in Hamilton. What a humdinger.
This was probably the game of the round.
Yep.
Okay. Definitely the game of the round.
Yep.
The Chiefs won... No, we all just decided. The Chiefs won 37-33. Two tries to Muliaina. A try to Sam Tuitupoa and Sidivini Sivavatu scored again. Four conversions for Hill and three penalties. The Waratahs had tries to Rogers, Freya, Takiri, Palota Now, and Elsom. A conversion to Hewitt and two penalties to Hewitt. So Hewitt missed four conversions.
Yes, he had an absolute shocker with that.
Coach Ewan McKenzie said, embarrassed is probably a good word when queried about his team's defence that conceded four tries for the first time. Yeah, amazingly good match. There was that try by Sivivatu that we were talking about today, Dom, where he pushed over two guys as they were sort of running in front of him, seemingly slowly, but we decided that that was because Sivivatu's so damn
much faster than him. Yeah,
so he just pushed them out of the way, kicked the ball sort of out the corner, and soccer
it. That's some brilliant soccer skills to control it and keep it going.
Yeah,
despite the guys who's also fighting off.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. I was like, Sivivatu, great stuff. But it was a comprehensive display by the Chiefs. But actually, not so much comprehensive. It was a really good rugby match. It wasn't defence-dominated, tit-for-tat sort of thing. There was try-scored and reply constantly. You know, no team kept getting advantage because one team would always peg back just after they scored. It was awesome to watch.
And it was always good attack rather than bad defence.
Well, that's what the Chiefs were saying. Their game plan was to constantly go at them, give the Waratahs no chance to set up their defence, just like pick and go, pick and go, pick and go, pass, go, go, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which you can do when you're the Chiefs because you've got guys who can run 400 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty
cool. I know. Think of the momentum they're getting up there.
Yeah. You have to time the run just right, though, because otherwise you pass the ball. He's just way downfield.
He's like in Auckland or something. Turns around and scream back again. But that's okay, because it only takes him a couple of seconds to get back. Right, so that was the Waratahs' third loss of the season and restricted them to only 2 points. And, once again, for like the umpteenth time this season, we picked the Chiefs by
1-12.
Yay, Chiefs.
And they came through for us. That's got to be our pick every week, no matter what. There's no choice.
The single remaining week.
No matter what, we're going to do 12 and under.
Oh, that's a good game to pick it on.
Okay, so the next game was another top four contender, the Brumbies versus the Highlanders in Canberra. The odds were heavily stacked on the Brumbies to win this and to win this convincingly over a Highlanders team that's never really arrived this season. They proved the bookies wrong, though. Highlanders edged them out. 28 points to 26. Hayden Gray.
Two tries to Cal Heyman and one to Craig Newby for the Highlanders. Two conversions to Blair and three penalties to Blair. The Brumbies had tries to Fairbanks and Gitto, two conversions to Mortlock, three penalties to Mortlock, and Gregan got a drop goal. Gregan also spear-tackled
Richie Kahui.
And he has been suspended for 1 week.
1 week.
Which is probably fair, given that, you know, George Gregan isn't... He's a dirty player, but he's not a dirty...
No, he's
smash
got a,
your head into the ground.
He's got a very clean record, and there was no malice.
When you watch the footage, it was a stupid tackle, and the second that he realises what he's doing, he finishes the tackle.
Yeah.
And then puts his hands in the air as if to say, don't
And then some
punch
giant guy comes over and tries to punch him.
Yeah. Laurie Fisher said... Gregan obviously hadn't done that on purpose, but it's well outside the laws of the game. So that's kind of nice. The coach said he realised it was outside the game. If Gregan is forced out, and obviously he will be, for 1 week, ACT will not move Matt Gitto from centres to halfback, but instead Patrick Phibbs will be promoted.
We'll discuss that further in the preview section. So yes, Brumbies beaten at home 28 points to 26 by the Highlanders.
However, they did get that bonus point for getting close.
Did get a bonus
which
point.
Makes their situation a little bit more comfortable.
Right, now we move into the bottom half of the competition, where all the teams here really didn't have much of a show, apart from the Sharks, I guess. Cheetahs versus the Force. This is probably the biggest yawn of the mat of the whole Super 14.
Unless you live in Perth.
After 60 minutes or something like that, it was 9-all. I'll repeat that. After 60 minutes, it was 9-all. This is the absolute worst attacking team in the competition versus one of the worst. Oh, no. So the Cheetahs have scored 240 points, better than the Highlanders, but it's still pretty bad.
Oh, falling asleep just listening to
you. I know.
The Force won, though.
Yes, sorry. Huge, though. Proving us wrong. The Force won the game.
Against all expectations. Yes. Apparently, no one knows how they won it.
Oh,
no.
In the world.
The Cheetahs were apparently all over them.
I couldn't believe it when the Force held on. It was shocking.
I've got here, with time running out, a desperate Shepherd tackle denied Ronnie Cook a certain score, and a wheeled Force scrum meant a tense finale under the shadow of the posts. But even after David Pussy...
was yellow carded for collapsing a mall destined for the try line. The Force would not be denied an unlikely triumph, sparking wild celebrations amongst the previously winless newcomers. Coach John Mitchell said afterwards his team was full of guts.
Also quoted as, I think we've turned the corner.
Yeah, he could have done. Yeah. It's just he missed a turn off about, you know, 12 weeks ago.
They've had the blinker on for a while.
Yeah.
So that actually means that the Force are unbeaten in three games.
I can't believe you just said that.
I know.
That is unbelievable.
That is that is something I would never have imagined myself saying. Sharks versus Stormers. Sharks nudging them out 24 points to 17 to remain in contention for the top four.
Tries to Montgomery.
That's Percy.
B-O-T-E-S.
Boats.
Boats. And Murray.
Boots.
Three conversions and a penalty to Percy Montgomery as well. So he didn't, in the end, play for the Stormers.
No, they got him the whole time. Well, we haven't read out the Stormers.
Well, the Stormers... Tries to Benjamin, Van Niekerk, two conversions to Grant, penalty to Grant. Oh, a drop goal to Montgomery. No.
drop goal.
That would score.
Can you get own drop goals?
Well, I was thinking about it. You can't get own goal tries. Is rugby the only game where you can't have an own goal?
Can't score against yourself.
Yeah.
Well, rugby league, you can't.
Basketball. Well, actually, no. I mean, if you're in basketball, the guy makes a shot and you tip it and it goes in the basket, that could be technically counted as an own goal.
Yeah. Or when you get the ball on its way down to the hoop, that's an automatic 2 points or 3 points, wherever it's shot from.
But that's like a penalty try.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah.
So, listeners, if you know of a major sport out there that you cannot score an own goal in, give us a ring.
Yeah. Email.
Dropkicks.podcast@gmail.com.
So, yes, Sharks beating the Stormers 24.17, not getting a bonus point, so remaining on 33 points, fifth equal with the Bulls, also on 33 points, but ahead of them on goal difference. From what I've heard, not a very inspiring game. The Stormers, it was pretty close though most of the way, but the Sharks just managed to ease it out in the end. But Stormers have got this awesome wing who's just going to be, he's like Brayden Pulser, but he's bigger and stronger. Right, and the final game of the weekend was the Cats versus the Blues. Now, we picked the Blues to thump the Cats, thinking the Blues had turned that corner.
Well,
cul-de-sac, I think.
Yeah.
It was close, though. Apparently, this might have been the most exciting game of the weekend, considering that nothing was riding on it. The Blues lost by 1 point.
1 point.
The exact same score that they lost to the Cheetahs.
That they beat the Cheetahs the week before.
There were four tries to the Cats. Three went to Fury and one to Veermark. And four conversions to Pretorius. And Pretorius also got two penalties. Blues got tries to Nathewa, Tuitavaki, Ward, Hayu and Howlett.
Tuitavaki's was awesome. About from halfway, I think.
Yeah,
he just cut through them.
Yeah, he's got ankle tap, but managed to get... His balance is incredible. He was pretty much hit on the ground, and he managed to get his balance back and then step like three guys, fend off someone else, and then run over the try line.
This was the Cats' second win of the season, and their seventh win in 5 years.
Ooh. Well done. Good work, Cats.
So they're on a roll now. The Cats had a 20-zip lead within half an hour. But then, Tony Woodcock was injured. Woodcock underwent a medical test in Johannesburg, which revealed he had a slight muscle tear.
I actually heard about this as well, and it may put him...
In his groin?
No, his calf.
It may put him out of contention for the early games of the All Black season.
Oh, yeah, they were saying it could be anywhere from 1 to 6 weeks or something. Yeah,
we've got some pretty good props.
I think we
John
just
forward. Did you see him?
Oh,
he sold the biggest dummy of the season. It was really awesome. But at the same time, it was like any Blues fan would just grab their head and pull their hair out. Because they made a huge break and was just hooning down the sideline. And then coming up outside him was Howlett.
Hmm.
And the fullback was coming across to smash Afoa. And you think, okay, all you've got to do is pass it down and he'll just burn around and score. But he throws the biggest dummy out there and the fullback just bored it completely and diving out almost nailed Howlett. And then he finds someone else inside. Ward. He just sort of chucked it inside. And thankfully, Ward was coming up behind him and grabbed it. Just pass it up to Howlett. Oh, God, he's not, is it? Woof. Saw another person in front of him and just went, ah! And out of nowhere comes Ward to grab the try. It was great. Okay, so that was the weekend's reviews. Right, sports news. Hayden Green, lead us off.
Last week, and I completely forgot about this, the National Bank Cup netball tournament has started here in New Zealand. So it's sort of our national provincial championship. It's sort of like the New Zealand Super 12 of netball.
Yeah.
14 of netball. So the current standings, first place is the Northern Force, Waikato Magic, the Southern Sting, Auckland Diamonds, Canterbury Flames, Otago Rebels, Eastern Flyers, Capital Shakers.
right at the very bottom. But the big news this year was Silver Ferns goal shoot Irene van Dijk, possibly the best netballer in the country.
In the world.
In the world. Wanted $1.45 million to play for two seasons for the Capital Shakers. Mike Mahoney, whose company was the Shakers' naming rights sponsor, said he offered the Silver Ferns shooter, Irene van Dijk, $110,000 to play for the Wellington franchise this season and $60,000 for next season. In a follow-up letter, he said he was absolutely dumbstruck by a counter-offer where Van Dijk's manager was seeking $1.4 million over 2 years. Industry sources say that she possibly earns about $80,000 a year from the Magic. Just in way of comparison, Super 14 salaries start at $65,000 a year. All Blacks will be paid $7,500 a week selection fees.
Oh, really? Just for being selected?
Just for being selected. Junior All Blacks, which is their B squad, get $3,500 a week. New Zealand Māori and All Black trialists get $2,000 a week. And so the number one netballer in the world gets perhaps a little bit more than what a standard Super 14 player would get.
Well, if you got the full $1.5 million over 2 years,
yeah,
whatever it was, where would that put her in terms of New Zealand sports people?
Well, they reckon it put her amongst, they said they put her amongst the top echelon of rugby players in New Zealand.
Right, so it'd be like the All Black captain, Richie McCaw, yeah. Dan Carter.
Yeah. In her defence, she's won a World Cup.
Okay, any other news?
Yeah, I got two nice stories. They both involve a little bit of drunkenness.
Always fun.
Bayern Munich.
Not encouraged.
Not encouraged, not during the podcast.
No. Officially not encouraged.
No.
And particularly not during the... Hide those. Oh, wait, they can't see. Woohoo! Yeah. Now I know why we do internet radio.
I swear it's orange juice.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich coach Felix Magath admitted Sunday that he was unable to make his team's championship victory celebration on a Rhine River pleasure boat because he drank too much on the bus ride there.
Oh, no. Oh, that is good.
He said, I celebrated before we got there and wasn't able to make it on the ship. I had more than one too many. Magath had not had any alcohol at all in the last 6 months. Oh, Magath had three glasses of champagne and beer on the bus.
That didn't sound like, they said it.
Because Felix had not had a drop of alcohol for more than a year, he did not feel capable of celebrating anymore after the bus ride to Cologne. And that's all.
Oh, that's good. That's
from the wide world of sports.
We have some statistics from our statistics department, who we have working night and day for us, compiling numbers.
First off, I thought I would do the stadiums with the highest seating capacity. I couldn't find attendance records, but I will try.
Mm.
So any ideas on which the biggest stadium is in terms of capacity?
The Homebush?
Nope.
Bellymore?
Nope.
No, Suncorp?
Ellis Park.
Suncorp is second.
Ooh. Really? Suncorp?
53,200.
Yeah, it's huge. It must be one of the South African ones.
Yeah, Ellis Park.
Ellis Park, 60,000.
Yeah. Woohoo!
And the third one is Absa Stadium in Durban, 52,000.
What about Homebush, though? That's
yeah,
huge.
Yeah, what's the...
Homebush is not listed technically as the home stadium.
It's Aussie Stadium.
Yeah. New Zealand teams, by the way, are the only teams that have different home venues.
Oh, yes, I'm playing at different places.
Playing at different places for home games.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is interesting because the Chiefs play in the smaller stadium at 27,000. Oh, actually, the Brumbies are equal. Canberra Stadium and Waikato Stadium, both 27,000.
Yet another similarity?
Yeah. That's spooky.
But when the Chiefs play in Rotorua, which they don't anymore, that stadium actually held more people. The Reds Stadium, Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane, has 228 escort seats. Possibly when Shane Warne's there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Boom, boom.
I have no idea what an escort seat is, but they have 228 of them. Maybe it's for if someone comes along, like they're disabled and they need someone to help them out.
Could
they've got
be.
Seats.
Because it's an awesome stadium. Oh, yeah. It's a superb stadium.
Yeah. And now some actual rugby stats. Mm. I've got the number of tries here, which I...
Who, what? What are we getting?
Okay. Which back has scored the most tries in the Super 14 so far? In fact, there's two of them. No, three of them. Equal. On nine.
Lomi Fartau.
Lomi Fartau is
Stirling
one.
Stirling Moorlock.
Stirling Moorlock is Stirling. Two. And...
Oh, who's the third?
Stenifor?
Scott Stenifor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He actually got his ninth try this weekend.
Oh, good.
Mm. Then on seven, there's Percy Montgomery, Leon McDonald, and Sidibeni Sebavatu.
Ah, that's good.
Okay, so which loose forward?
Ooh, it'll be that South African dude.
It is a South African dude.
Brits?
Nope.
Watson?
No. Pedri Vandenberg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, the number
seven.
Eight.
Five tries.
Yeah. Followed by Jacques Bortes on four. Also, Rocky Elsom on four.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's Mose Tuiali'i, AJ Venter, and Rhino Vandermeer on three. Okay, the tight forwards. Which one scored the most?
Oh, Andrew Hoare.
Yeah, Andrew Hoare.
Yes, Andrew Hoare. He is on six tries.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Well, it was helped by the hat-trick.
It was helped a lot by the hat-trick. Back on four, there's Bucky's Borta, Jason Eaton, and Adam Freyer.
Okay, that was stats for this week. Okay, we have Dick of the Week now. Very popular segment of the show. It's been, since the games, the Commonwealth Games, three New Zealand cyclists were involved in a bit of a how's your father, where it was rumoured that two of the guys got really drunk after they finished their event, pissed against a wall, then tried to piss on their colleague, then dragged her into the pool, trying to strip her off. The security guy came along and thought they were raping her and blah, blah, blah. It was awful. But it was, it wasn't the case.
Well, no, I think the case was that it was a set of Chinese whispers.
Yeah, Chinese whispers have just blown this completely out of proportion. Cycling New Zealand haven't come forward to clear anything up. They've been telling everyone involved to say, look, don't say anything to the press. We'll tidy this up in-house and, you know, we'll just sweep it aside like that. Consequently, the mother of the woman who was involved, she's come out and said there's a very unsafe environment for female cyclists in the team. The girl herself said that she doesn't feel terribly safe, but she still won't say exactly what happened. Another girl who used to be in the team has sparked up from Germany and said, oh, look, that girl's just not going to have any friends anymore. Liz Williams was the girl involved, and she's just not going to have any friends in the team anymore. No one's going to want to talk to her because she's a rat, basically. And now it turns out that some of the other guys in the team are saying that she overreacts a lot and they've just been carrying her. So it's a bit of a smear campaign and I'm not happy.
No, I'm not happy either. This smacks of the Aussies in that Lay Down Sally episode, which was just, quite frankly, disgusting.
Yeah,
bad sportsmanship, absolutely. I mean, kind of thing. So who are you nominating for Dick of the Week? New Zealand Cycling or...?
Well, New Zealand Cycling have handled it incredibly badly.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Good.
Yeah,
good. Brilliant.
Yep.
Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week. Big dicks.
Athlete of the Week. I'd like to nominate, and I guess these guys have got my vote because I think it's bloody funny. Friday night had the test match between the Anzac test between the Kangaroos Rugby League team and the New Zealand Rugby League team. Now, the Kangaroos thumped us. I mean, they gave us on. Having said that, it was a breath of fresh air after the bloody awful Hurricanes Reds match. It was just terrible. Mm. But this was just... The first half was awesome.
50 to 12.
It was pretty painful to watch the last half an hour. But afterwards, the Australian rugby team, the Kangaroos, were celebrating at the Holiday Inn or the hotel, whatever it was, some hotel. And, like, three guys just ran in and stole the trophy and ran out again. And they were like...
You're missing the important adjective. Adjective. Three Kiwi guys.
Three Kiwi guys ran in, stole the trophy and ran off. And they got chased by the hotel staff, but apparently the hotel staff had no chance.
And the coach, and Andrew Johns.
Oh, and some of the players. And
outran
Andrew Johns.
Holding the
trophy.
Why the hell were they picked for
it?
They
totally skinned it. It was awesome. One of the Australian players was like... Well, full credit to them, man. They came in here and they pitched and they ran off. Pretty impressive. You've got to give them credit for their book. They caught two of them, but the guy with the trophy kept... which is awesome. They caught the guys without the trophy.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Sign him up, man.
It was a B. Marshall. No, that's too easy. BGM. Yeah.
So he was just gone. And they eventually... They caught his two mates, though, and they eventually persuaded them to call him and bring the trophy back. And he did. And they had
no, he didn't.
Oh,
he had stashed it in the awning of a shop. which meant that they had to climb up into the thing to find it.
So they eventually found it. But yeah, they haven't been charged. Just a, hey, you. That's, yeah, that's really pretty funny. So
I know, I go with those guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, I think that's a great effort. Okay, good. So congratulations to the three unnamed Kiwis. B. Marshall, M. Vituvi.
S.B. Williams or something, wasn't it?
S.B. Williams, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and S.B. Williams.
Oh, yeah, no, that's two.
Yeah.
Sunnyville W.
congratulations to them. You're our Athletes of the Week. If you want your prize, yeah. Come and email us.
Steal it.
Give you a prize. Now we cross into our reviews, our previews for this week's games. First game of the round is going to be Crusaders versus the Brumbies. Probably the... No, it's not going to be... Well, I don't know. Grumbies versus Crusaders. Ha 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 ha. In Christchurch, 7:35pm, Friday night.
This is interesting. The Brumbies need to score one competition point only, and they can secure a semi-final berth.
Yep.
If they don't get a point, if the Crusaders blow them out of the water, and they don't get four tries, or they don't come within seven, there is a chance that the Sharks could catch them. However, the Brumbies have a points differential of 87.
Mm.
The two teams chasing them, the Sharks and the Bulls, are the only teams that have a chance to dislodge them. Mm. And the Sharks are the closest with 48 points, point differential.
Right.
So the Brumbies have to lose really badly.
They have to be hammered.
Well, it's 39 points between them, isn't it? So
yes.
The Brumbies would have to lose by 20, and the Sharks would have to win by 20.
By 20, yeah. Ooh. So it's
not out of the realms of possibility.
It's not outside of the realms of possibility, but the Crusaders have to win gigantic over the Brumbies, and Brumbies not score any tries. Mm.
Yeah,
and the
Sharks
have to win huge in their game.
Yep.
With all of that taken into consideration, and the fact that the Crusaders need one competition point to get a home semi, but a win to secure a home semi and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, I'm picking the Crusaders 13+.
I'm picking them as well.
I'm picking them as well. They're going to be full strength. They're going to hammer them.
Richie McCrory is back.
Reds versus Highlanders in Brisbane. That's a late game after the Crusaders-Brumbies match. Nothing riding on it at all.
The Reds played really well against the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
But the Highlanders played exceptionally well against the Brumbies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then I give the Highlanders my shoo-in of the week.
Really?
Yep.
That's a pretty big shoo. I'm going to say that the Reds are my lock of the week.
Ooh, pretty big lock.
Mike, what's it going to be?
The shoe or the lock?
Ooh. Shoo.
Whoa, all right.
Sharks versus the Force in Durban. Oh man,
well,
this is just going to be a hammering, because the Sharks have to. They will fire everything they've got. Sharks by 13+, they have to hammer them. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Blues versus Chiefs in Auckland. What did I say earlier? There's only one choice we've got to make there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Chiefs 1-12. Yeah. Done. Next one.
Yeah, good luck the Chiefs. Okay, Waratahs versus Hurricanes in Sydney. Possibly a dry run for the semi-final, which happened a few years ago as well, I think.
Well, in fact, both these games, the Crusaders Brumbies and the Waratahs Hurricanes, could be exact
semi-final
dry runs.
Yeah, we could be seeing this week again next week.
Yes.
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 Like Back to the Future.
Waratahs. I think that the Hurricanes are playing for a home semi-final, and that's pretty important, I think.
So are the Waratahs, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Whoever wins this game gets the home semi-final.
Mm.
And the Waratahs really desperately want one in Sydney.
No, I think this is going to be an absolutely titanic battle. My head says the Waratahs.
My head says the Waratahs.
Because same.
The Hurricanes just...
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah.
It's a tough ask.
The most depressing game in the world.
Waratahs 1-12.
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn. And we hope we're wrong.
Oh, good Lord, we hope we're wrong. Right, Cheetahs Cats is the second to last game, played in Bloemfontein.
The Cats are the bottom-placed South African team.
Mm-hmm.
The Cheetahs are the South African team just above them.
Yes.
And remember, there was that whole thing, which has probably gone by the by, of the bottom South African team is going to drop out. So the Cats, even though they won't move up any, or they won't at least move past the Cheetahs...
Yeah, they're playing for pride now, aren't they?
They're playing for pride.
Yes.
But they are the way to the Cheetahs, who have looked the better team.
The Cheetahs are on a 6-game losing streak.
But I just think the Cheetahs have lost all attacking ability.
That's absolutely true.
Whereas the Cats, actually, no, they don't even have any attacking ability. What's going on there?
I'm going to say the Cheetahs 1-12.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cheetahs 1-12 as well.
I'd disagree, but we'll go with the Cheetahs. In the final game, Stormers versus the Bulls in Cape Town. The Bulls need to win. They need to really.
They need to do more work than the Sharks.
Than the Sharks, yeah.
So we'll pick the Bulls, their 10 plus.
Yeah, because that'd be so awesome. Those two games are going to be great to watch if we had Sky and could be bothered getting up at 3 a.m. But good luck to the Bulls. That brings us to the end of yet another awesome week of sports. But we have the last word this week is not going to go to any of the three of us.
We had an email from Russell Main, who describes himself as a Saffa fan. He says, just thought I'd let you know that you do in fact have at least one Saffa fan out there, which, to those of you who don't know, is South African. He's got a couple of questions. How long have you guys, which is us, been friends, if indeed you actually are friends?
Well, that's a good point. I'm actually here out of duress.
Well, yeah, we kind of...
It's his place.
It is his place, and we just kind of bowled in here and said, you... Yeah. Turn the recorder on.
I've never seen these guys before. They've like picked this house at random.
The facilities here are excellent. He has the internet and a really cool computer. It's good.
Yeah. And no locks.
And nothing.
Yeah. No way of keeping us out.
Yeah.
No. I found Dom on the streets of Brazil. He was working. Hola. He'd been working in the pit fighting ring and had been raised on the end of a leash. Who's mainly feral.
Mainly.
And, I gave him to a blind preacher man who raised him as his own, and I came back and collected Dom when he was able to speak. Taught him about rugby, and he's here now.
It's really good to be here. I'm speaking in my native tongue.
Yeah, and he's not in a union, so that helps even more. The other question was, and it possibly relates to what we were just saying, how much do you guys drink before, during... the recording of the podcast, because I swear half the time you guys are the only ones that actually understand what the hell is going on.
Mm.
And you're wrong, first of all, because we don't ever know what the hell is going on.
That's right.
And we do not drink during the podcast.
Absolutely not, because that would be a violation to the Broadcasting Standards Code.
Mm.
Broadcasting.
Of broadcasting.
Yep. The BSCB. However, the BSCB says... nothing about before and after a broadcast, and before a broadcast,
or even during editing of it,
or during editing, or in the drive to, or you know, sitting at home during the day,
work, getting the stuff, getting the research and stuff. Yeah, I didn't say a thing about that.
He does say we speak Portuguese. I don't ever remember speaking Portuguese. Man, were I drunk?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's it for another week here at Den's Espion, where we're saying goodbye to the Dropkicks after another exciting half hour of informed sporting comment. We'll leave you now with a bit of twin set time dilation. Here's a summer feeling.